And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 15th, 2017. It's Season 11, Episode 14. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Nathan.
Nathan!
Woo!
I know, he hasn't been back in forever!
How long has it been, man? Months, okay.
I want to say like 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah. So to welcome you back...
Hello!
There you go.
Classic.
Yeah.
Good times.
Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out In-Game Chat for all the InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. You can watch us live online. Go to twitch.tv. Type in In-Game Chat in the search box. You'll find us. You can watch us live while we broadcast, because occasionally we'll have things to show off on the camera.
Besides our faces.
Besides our faces, our wonderfully beautiful faces.
Built and for then, radio.
Yeah, face radio. And also you can listen to us. You can also chat in the chat room with everybody in there as well. So, welcome to the show. Before we get started... Yeah, I have to do that.
That was my applause.
I have to do it because I have to, because when I edit the show.
Yeah, timestamp.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know.
Sync.
It's delayed for some reason. Yeah. It used to not be that way. And then I put a new hard drive in and changed a couple of things around, and now it's delayed. So, for those of you who don't know who Nate is, used to be on the show. When James comes, if James ever comes back, that'll be the one we'll have to reintroduce all over again.
Yeah.
I went back and looked at, it was weird because I got done doing the render for the video last week, and I normally don't check the things. I normally, they're all good, and so I just go ahead and upload them. But this one I decided to check and noticed that my syncing was off. It's like, oh, let me redo this. So I redid it, and while I was up there, I was looking at like past, because I've got all the episodes saved, and I looked at past episodes, and I saw where we had like a 3-month run in the other studio, and Dennis used to sit over here, and there was all these different... configurations we had and all the different camera angles we used to have to try and get everybody in the shot. And of course,
sometimes it kind of failed.
Oh yeah. A lot of times it kind of failed. I kind of like the way we've got it set up.
Hanging cameras from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Beforehand. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. And there is still the paperclip sticking out of the ceiling over there where we used to hang the camera.
Yep.
Yeah. It's right behind you. It's up there. Little red paperclip to commemorate way back when we first started doing this. I'm gonna go ahead and bring this up. I was gonna try and go through the whole episode and not bring it up. I don't feel like there's any reason to bring it up, but it's already kind of affecting me. I am in a lot of pain at the moment. I don't know if I've pinched a nerve. I don't know what I've done, but it's in my neck and shoulders, and it hurts really, really bad, and it's been hurting for the past few days now.
Did you sleep funny?
I thought I slept funny.
Yeah.
And when I first started feeling it, I was like, oh, I slept wrong.
It's usually how it feels to me.
Yeah, I was like, hopefully I'll fix it this night, you know, the next night when I go to sleep, I'll fix it. And didn't fix it. It has gotten progressively worse. And it hurts right now.
What did you try for it?
What have I tried for it?
Sports cream, Tylenol, Bengay, Advil.
Advil, yeah.
Okay.
Just Advil. And I'm probably going to need to go to a chiropractor or a massage therapist or somebody to kind of look at this thing and figure out what's going on. If it doesn't work itself out, I got a heat pad too.
Okay. Yeah.
I haven't played much though. I played, we'll get into what we played here in a little bit. But I just wanted to bring it up because I'm going to be making a few noises here and there that I apologize ahead of time for making, like little bitty hits of pain there. I'm just glad we got Nate back though, at least for this episode. You're only here for this one thing, and then you might be turning this into a once a month type of visit that we might get. So that's good. Mm-hmm. How have you been? What have you been up to? What's going on?
Good. Just. Game wise, I haven't played a whole lot of things. I've been playing a little bit of Horizon. Love that. I almost have that one completed.
I'm in my first. I haven't played it in a while, so I'm not exactly sure what it's called. It's one of those sigil temples or whatever.
In the beginning.
It's at the beginning. I mean, I'm early in the game, but it's the first little temple you have to go into. Mm-hmm. And then you fight the big thing at the end of it.
Yep, that one's
cool. That fight is not going well for me.
What I learned real quick is you need to take advantage of your traps. Mm-hmm. Once you take advantage, once you have the traps laid down, it's cake.
I know, but I have to melee traps. I have to deal with those stupid.
Those things are easy.
I can't remember what they're called. Seekers.
Yes. And then before that, I was playing a little bit of I haven't beat it yet, but The Last Guardian. Haven't beat that one yet.
Finished that up.
Yes.
And I finished that up. I was very close to finishing that up last week before the show, and then I spent the next day wrapping that up. And so I did finish. I finally finished Last Guardian. So I'll talk about that too.
Before that, went through and beat Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Greatly enjoyed that. It was the first one I ever played. That was super fun. And then before that was Battlefield 1. And that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Right. We got news today, just recently before the show came on, of Battlefield 1, Battlefront.
Yeah,
Battlefront 2. Star Wars Celebration's going on. That's the reason Matt is not here. Mm-hmm. He is in Orlando for Star Wars Celebration. And
lucky.
For the movie got released yesterday, but the full trailer for the game got released today. Just before we came on, and it was announced that it would be released November 17th, 2017. So November 17th of this year. I was hoping we'd hear from Amy Hennig about what she's working on for Star Wars related stuff. But, you know, I thought maybe it might be a surprise, but nothing at the moment. So, multiplayer includes locations and characters across all eras for battles with up to 40 players. Intergalactic dogfights with up to 24 players. And let's see. The most disappointing news of this entire announcement is that split-screen co-op is only available. It says it's only available on consoles. So maybe it isn't only available on just Xbox One, from where I read. But I could have sworn that Xbox One had the exclusivity on that.
I never saw that, so I.
But maybe, yeah, I must be mistaken there.
Which would be a lot better.
Well, that seems like an odd thing to have exclusivity on, you know, split screen co-op.
But I'm fine with it just on consoles. Yeah. No one.
I get it for the. It's really bad. I get it for the PC not having it. I rarely know of much that has split screen co-op on PC.
I've never done split screen.
I know. So, yeah, I kind of get it for that right there, but yeah, so that's really all we know about it, the trailer release, the longer trailer, not the one that got leaked.
Maybe we'll hear some on E3.
That was just a TV. Oh, well, I'm sure we will. Yeah, I mean, we'll be hearing a lot of stuff at E3. There's a lot to talk about at E3. Xbox or Microsoft has the Scorpio to reveal and to talk more about, and there is a fantastic interview with Phil Spencer at Gamasutra is the name of the site. They did a very long, a very detailed interview with the guy, and he talks about the development of Scorpio, and he talks about how PCs influence the way he wants to go with this machine so that everything can play on any machine. He likened it to PCs, where when you buy a game, it's got the recommended settings, and it's got the low setting. You know, it's like here's the minimum requirements, here's the recommended requirements, and it's going to work a lot like that, where, you know, you buy a game and it'll play on your Xbox One and your Xbox One S, and it'll play on your Project Scorpio, and as you move between the systems, you know, you put the settings on the systems that you have, or it automatically switches, whatever the case, and you get the better settings out of the console that you have. And was really adamant about, you know, we're not gonna exclusivize this. We're not going to say that it is only a Project Scorpio exclusive. We want it to run the entire Xbox family. And, you know, he's really pushing hard for that. And he also, to the point of, he's got one of the machines, he mentioned that he had one of the machines at home. He said that the, he called it port parity, I think, is what it was called, where he could take all the plugins out of his Xbox One or his Xbox One S in the back and plug them right into his Scorpio machine. Like, he wanted it down to that, so that you could, you didn't have to get a new plug or a new cable to go into the back of it or anything, have to switch out. It's all going to work the same across the line. So that was his intention for that. I love that. It's a small thing. It's a really tiny thing, and I shouldn't care about it at all, but it was really, really nice in a home entertainment setup to not have to thread cable again through all of your other wiring methods, where I can just unplug the old one, plug in the new one, and nothing has to change as far as my wires. It all can remain the same. So I kind of really, really like that.
I mean, for the most part, Sony's been like that.
I think they have been, except for the Pro.
What's the Pro half?
I think it's got a different configuration in the back as far as the power cord. Yeah,
power cord, okay.
I think. And I want to say it does, but I could be wrong. It may be the Xbox One S to the Xbox One has a different power cord. I can't remember.
I've never seen one. So.
But I know you're right about that. The Sony's pretty much,
I mean,
stays.
Video cables change, but that's just because technology's changed.
Yeah.
So.
Of course, once you go HDMI, you're pretty good, with the exception of, like, your cable, does it support the certain definitions of HDMI?
Yeah, for the most part.
All right, let me get this out of the way as well. Have you messed around with the Switch at all?
No, I've never touched one.
Here, you can touch one now.
Oh.
This is, again, we've done this many times when Matt was here. So I got the Switch whenever Matt wasn't here. Let RJ mess around with it. Then Matt came back, so I brought the Switch back. And now you're here, and you've never messed with the Switch. So, I mean, this is the Zelda carrying
case.
Isn't it?
Very
nice. Carrying case. This, I have a console in here. This is the interesting thing. There's a console. Actually, I have two. My 3DS is in here, too. But this is a console. This is, as much as I, first off, I own the thing, but as much as I crap on it, I really love this ability to, oh, hey, you want to see the new console? Here, I'll just bring it right over, and it's right here. I don't have to, I don't have to pack all that stuff in that big bag.
Careful.
I know. I don't have to pack all that stuff in the bag and carry it around or get the cables and everything in. I can just bring it in this little case, and boom, it is right here. So.
Oh, quick note, looking at the back of the PS4, looks like it's got those that monitor plug in the back instead of the little plug that was on the PS4 and the PS3.
The Pro, you mean?
The Pro, yeah.
Yeah.
The Pro is a bigger plug on the back than the
I thought there was a difference, which I thought was very strange when I was doing the trade-in and stuff and everything else. I was like, oh, this is not the same.
Yeah, that's right for the most part. Yeah, PS2, PS3,
and 4
had the same plug setup and the HDMI cable set up in the back.
And then all through the different configurations of those, the Slims, Slim models and everything else. There's a Switch.
Well, the Slim had an AC adapter on that one.
It is just like a giant 3DS.
But it's giant. That's my problem with it. It feels too big. It feels too wide.
Not portable.
Right. I mean, when you're done with it, you got to put it back up in here rather than flipping the thing over and being like, okay, I'm good. Putting it in your pocket or something like that. You can't put that in your pocket.
It's pretty light.
It's very light. But it still feels cumbersome at being as long as it is, I guess you could say. To me. That's to me.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not too bad for me. That wouldn't bother me much. It's a small directional pad, though.
Yeah, I know. The plus or minus thing.
I like that, though. I still don't think I'd ever buy one.
Yeah, I know.
Yet. You never know. Mm-hmm. Wow, is that the vent port?
What?
The venting port?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's one on top and bottom. Actually, you know what? There's not one on the bottom. Is there one on the bottom? No, there's not one on the bottom because when you sit it into the docking thing, that's where it's got to breathe is out the top.
Sure.
Yeah, there is the kickstand on the back that you can pop open, and that's where your memory card goes under that kickstand.
It is interesting though. It's like, oh, here's the console. Yeah.
The cartridge is in the top if you want to pop out the cartridge and take a look at the Zelda game.
No, pretty thick.
It is, and look how exposed it is in the back too. More so than it is on other, on like their 3DS cartridges and stuff, which I've got a 3DS cartridge in here to show that. I think it turned on, by the way.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. No big deal.
Did you ever mention anything about the bending issue again?
Not since I've looked at it. Nothing that I know of. Yeah, it's touchscreen.
Mm-hmm. What do you think over it all?
I've hardly ever played it.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? I've hardly played the thing. I haven't even started Zelda yet. I was busy with like Last Guardian, Horizon, a couple other things. I was like, I can usually run with about two games in my configuration in my head. If I bring in a third, if I bring in a third, one of my other two are going to drop off.
Yep.
So I stopped with Sniper Elite 4, began on Last Guardian.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, began on Last Guardian and Horizon. So I've been playing those. Finished up Last Guardian and was going to move on to this, except Nier Automata came into some prominence as far as a lot of people saying really good things about it. So I went and bought that. And I've been playing that. Now, here is the
Joy-Con.
Here's the Joy-Con. It is the weirdest thing in the world.
It was pretty funny to watch those videos of the people that were, like, messing them up and, like, going too far on the strap thing.
Mm.
Wow, that is incredibly...
tiny, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Doesn't it feel weird to... This feels completely wrong. Your thumbs are too close together.
My biggest issue with the thing is the durability. That thing felt fragile.
But when you hold it like this, as maybe like a remote or
it's pretty comfortable.
Like if there was something on screen that you could move the mouse with on
like
the
Wii.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So then they give you this thing that comes in the box that you
Oh yeah.
You put these on. And,
Switch.
Yeah. And I'll let you put in that other one. And then you could feel what that feels like as far as a controller configuration is concerned.
Hmm. That's still a little odd.
Isn't it?
Like not wide enough or...
Yeah.
Yeah, not wide enough, yeah.
That's partially because I'm so used to the...
Which is why I bought one of these.
Yeah, the
Now that feels Pro. So much better.
And how much did that run you?
That one?
Yeah.
I think it was 60?
Yeah,
this 60 is 65?
Bucks. Yeah.
This is the proper...
Yeah! It's the only way I intend to ever play any game on the Switch that doesn't require me to play it with the Joy-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, if it requires me to play it with the Joy-Cons, I'm probably not getting the game. Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at that, I don't see a problem why that default controller couldn't have been made a little wider for those Joy-Cons.
Yeah, this is too thin.
Yeah.
Or too narrow.
I don't like it.
I mean, really, it just needed to be this wide. But, I mean, you can make more money if you can sell these.
But you just sell that, yeah.
So.
You make it uncomfortable for the player and then release something that they can buy or they can spend more money on to have their comfort, yeah.
Oh, so these are the direction? Okay, interesting.
What?
That this is the direction. I didn't realize this was the directional pad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and these are too high.
They're just off. Yeah. Everything about it is just off.
That's very uncomfortable.
Here I am owning a console, and I'm just being like, this thing's just crap.
I would almost throw this away. I would never use this.
Oh, what the? Yeah.
This colder.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be so uncomfortable.
Yeah. But if anything's ever, required, like, hey, you need to play this with the Joy-Con in that configuration and not the Pro Controller.
Why?
I don't know, because it's Nintendo, man.
True. That's true.
It's Nintendo.
You know, I got a 3DS over the break.
Yeah.
Over Christmas break. Got the lime green one.
Is it the 3DS XL or is it just 3D? Yeah.
The new 3DS XL. Yep.
Lime green. I've got the gray. What is it in here that I've got? black, gray, something like that. It's a black one, I guess.
Yeah, I got the lime green looking one. I beat Luigi's Mansion.
Are you doing a Zelda run on that thing?
Zelda?
Matt's going through all the Zeldas.
Oh. No, actually, I'm...
Except I think he's done, because now he's playing Breath of the Wild on the Wii U.
Currently I was going through all the Mario games. So like I beat Luigi's Mansion, which I know that's technically not Mario, and then I beat Super Mario 3D Land. Then I beat both Pokemons. Then Super Metroid.
Click.
I've enjoyed that, though.
So, yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because everybody else has messed around with it and seen it, and I wanted you to have a chance to do that as well.
Yeah, haven't seen him at the store or anything, so.
They're going to come back into... They're going to continue to make more. In fact, we've got some numbers on those as far as the...
It's a good thing I don't want the...
Yeah, it's a good thing you don't want the NES Classic that I brought in here not too long ago. Now that thing is discontinued, such a weird... Nintendo is so weird.
The weirdest company ever.
This thing makes a lot of money. We better stop selling it.
Like, it literally cannot stay on the shelves.
I know.
Yeah.
It was selling so fast, but maybe
they
weren't
making money. But then they stopped selling it.
Maybe they weren't making money on it.
They had to have been making money on it. They had to have been making money on it.
I've seen companies do that.
And knowing the amount of demand out there, if they weren't, I know that there is some accountant guy in their building that says, once we've sold this many, everything else becomes profit. And I got to figure that it wouldn't take that much to hit that line if they weren't already doing it. And so... I got to figure that guy had that in place, and that's probably something that's easily reachable. I don't know why. I really don't know why they're doing it. I do not know why they're doing that.
I'm looking at eBay right now, looking at the prices of these things now.
They've probably gone massive. They've gone up.
$314, $256, $290, $419, brand new. $300. Yeah.
You know, I pulled a U, by the way.
You pulled a me?
A while ago with Abduction.
I don't know what you did.
That I still haven't. Finished it because I kind of don't
want to
finish it.
You kind of don't want to, yeah.
Not because I don't like the game. It's just I don't want it to be over.
They finally sent me my...
They
sent me my last confirm your address thing because they're about to ship out all the physical rewards. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get your special level?
It is in there. I never went back to look at it.
Can I go view it?
I'll go get the instructions on how, yeah.
So, okay. But other people can go view it.
Yeah, other people can go view it. Yeah.
I would love to go look at that.
I'll have to go back in my email and find out where all that info is. But yes, it is in there.
Okay.
I never went back to go look at it. It's something I should do, but I haven't done that.
I'll do it for you and send you screenshots.
Yeah.
Wish you were here.
I was trying to look at the Nintendo Switch numbers. We got some of those numbers back from the sales. NPD data. Cited by Nintendo of America, says that Nintendo Switch sold faster in its launch month than any other video game system in Nintendo history. That thing right there. Said it sold 906,000 units of the Switch in March. Stressed that it managed to achieve this milestone in a non-traditional month for a console launch. You're not kidding. That is a very non-traditional month of console launches. March.
Yeah.
They're not providing global sales figures, which is very strange. Again, it's probably very, very promising. I don't know why you wouldn't, but...
unless it looks bad.
We'll know about it, though. The company promised that those numbers will show up during their fiscal earnings report on April the 27th. Mm. So we will have an idea.
I'm still interested in how many... you said 906,000 units. I wonder how many units of Breath of the Wild sold with that. How much?
I've got those numbers here.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
I didn't understand this.
Yeah, Nintendo happily announced that The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild sold over 1.3 million units in the U.S. 406,000 of those were for the Wii U. 925,000 of those were for the Switch. 906,000 Switch consoles sold. 925,000 Zelda games for the Switch sold.
Mm.
So The Zelda actually outsold the Switch hardware itself. It gave the game an unheard of attach rate of more than 100%. They say it may attribute to people who purchase both a limited edition of the game to collect and sit on a shelf and not open, and then one to play.
To sell on eBay.
Right. It could have been people who went to go get a console. The consoles were sold out. I'm going to go ahead and pick up the game.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then eventually they rolled around in April or so or sometime later, whatever the case. But could have been the case of it. I really don't know.
That's very true.
So that's the numbers we got back on the Nintendo Switch. Yeah, that is good in a month. I really don't know. Let's see. It's hard to make comparisons without yet knowing the global sales total, but it's worth noting that the Xbox One sold over 2 million units in its first 18 days, while Sony sold 2.1 million PlayStation 4 units in its first 14 days. Perhaps more interesting will be a comparison to Nintendo's last record-breaking launch. The Wii shipped 3.19 million units during the holiday quarter, which ended in December 31st, 2006, ultimately went on to sell over 100 million units during its lifetime. The Wii U, by the way, where did I read this? Well, it wasn't obviously in this article, but I wanted to see where somebody had the Wii U numbers, and currently, the Wii U consoles that were sold in the Wii U's lifetime, the Switch is at half of those right now in its first month. So the Switch is sitting at about half of what the Wii U sold in its lifetime. So that is, and that's only with really one game that's really out there for it. Zelda, you know, made that happen.
It's the one that moves systems, right?
Mario will make that move system, that will make that number grow. Splatoon 2 will make that number grow a little bit. Mario will do a lot to make that number grow again. If they put out a Metroid Man, that'll do it as well, to increase sales of that console. So we got to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk about we'll talk about what we've played, what we've been playing, what RJ's been playing, what Nate's been playing, what a little bit I've been playing as well. We've got a lot of news to go over here, so we'll talk about that as well. Plenty more to come. We've got music, and I heard one of the show hosts during the week, Dan Morris, his son apparently really likes the show, listens to the show, but really has enjoyed the music we've been doing, I guess, since we've started going the different cuts every episode. So that does not change this episode. Brand new cuts. And in fact, the first one comes from Nate, who suggested this. So it is from Star Wars The Old Republic, which I haven't played in a while, but when was the last time you played it?
I actually played them last year, both of them.
Yeah, I know. Last year, okay, 2016. Wasn't that far away, actually.
Yeah.
You mean Knights of the Old Republic and the Old Republic? Mm-hmm. Okay. The MMO?
Oh, the MMO. Actually, I did play the MMO.
Yeah, because that's what you linked me to, was the MMO. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The MMO theme.
Yes.
I guess. So.
I did for about a month. I played it last year.
Well, that's what we've got here. It's the main theme from Star Wars The Old Republic. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Nate, who has not been around for a while. And Matt, of course, is out at Star Wars Celebration in Orlando. Loving every minute of it, I'm sure. Haven't heard from him since he left. Yeah.
Been quiet as a mouse.
He really has. This is music from Assassin's Creed Black Flag, called Pirates Beware. That's the name of the track, if you're looking for that.
It's a good game.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We're going to go over what we've been playing, and Nate, since you've been away for a while, why don't you tell us some of the recent things you've been playing?
I mean, like I said, the list isn't that long. It just went from Battlefield 1 to then Final Fantasy 15.
What was the last thing you played?
Oh, currently it's just Horizon.
Horizon, okay. Yeah. How's that going for you? How do you like that?
I wasn't sure what I thought of it when it first came out, and then I went ahead and rented it from Redbox, and then really enjoyed the combat, the whole storyline and stuff, and I was like, okay, well, I'll go ahead and pick it up, and about a little over halfway through, and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm not very far into it.
It's a pretty big game, yeah. Landscape-wise and stuff, but I've really enjoyed it.
Been taking my time with it very much. I have enjoyed it until I got to this temple, and I'm horribly. Well, he's a fire guy. Mm-hmm. So if you had free stuff, you'd be good because you know they cancel each other out type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't have any free stuff. I haven't gotten to the free stuff part. I don't know where that is, but I haven't.
Well, I'm halfway and I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, like freeze arrows and things like that? Or traps, I guess?
All I have is sonic, explosive, hard point, and standard, and then fire.
Well, it annoyed the crap out of me the other day.
The way I beat him, though, just give you a tip, I just laid the...
a lot of traps, yeah.
Well, I did the electric traps, and then once he was stunned, I went and did the hard... The R1.
Okay.
Does the critical hit, and you only have to do that 3 times, and it kills him.
Wow. I wonder if I've unlocked that yet on my... Mm-hmm.
You get that by default.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Both of those.
I've been planning to go back and do that, except Nier has been taking my time. But so, yeah, enjoying Horizon. And what else? Oh, Last Guardian you've been playing.
Yeah, a little bit of that. I was about halfway through that one. But then I kind of wanted to finish Horizons before I went back to that. But that's a game I'm just going to take my time with. I'm not worried about...
I know the feeling. I know the feeling.
I like The Last Guardian. It's like a nice little puzzle.
It's really great to just jump in there and like, let me figure out how to get through this thing, you know?
And you don't really have to remember a whole lot of previous,
unlike
Abduction.
I know. There's not much to remember in Way of Controls. Mm-hmm. And there's especially not much to remember because a lot of it comes up as prompts on your screen throughout the game. Whenever you're near something that can be done, it's like, hey, you need to grip this, or, you know, here's the button to grip, or here's the button to pick up, or something like that. So, that was, I'll talk about that when I get around to it, but what else, anything else you wanted to?
The only thing I've been playing is there's a free app on my phone, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I've played that since December, and I've still been playing it. I don't know why I absolutely love that game. I mean, I play it every day.
I haven't found a game on my phone yet that has held my attention.
I know.
Longer than
a month,
maybe a month or 2 months. You know,
I don't know why. I started playing it in December, and there's just so many characters in the game that you have to unlock and slowly grind. And then the developers are always adding new characters. Like they just did all the whole Rogue or a Rebels character. So I just got all the new Rebels characters.
I haven't even started on season 3 of that show yet.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I know they just released the trailer for season 4.
Correct. And then made it official.
Announced that it would be the final season. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which I'm happy about.
What else?
Other than that.
Other than the app game, that's about it?
Oh, Overwatch. I did finally pick up Overwatch.
Oh, for PC. Yeah.
The Amazon had the collector's edition with the statue for $50.
They had it cheap for something, but I picked it up for PS4.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because I got that, and I picked it up for PS4 just because when I was playing Destiny at the time, I saw a lot of people doing the Overwatch thing, and I thought, well, there's always going to be a community there on PS4 that I can go and play with. we've talked about this with Destiny 2 coming around, mm-hmm. how where we're going to go. And way back when Destiny 1 was around, we were all like, ah, I wish they'd release this on PC. And we stuck with PS4 on it, and which I'm glad we did, because I realize now that PC, while being the way to go for the prettiest thing in the world, is not necessarily the way you want to go for the most amount of players that you can find. You kind of want to stick to consoles on that. Mm-hmm. And Destiny kind of showed me that, even though it wasn't on PC, but it was the fact that I could look at other games and still see there's a community here on Destiny who still populate that game. The Division, not near as popular. It may be populated, but they're all high levels, so they're not. There's hardly anybody to play with on low levels. Titanfall, Titanfall 2, Battlefront. Battlefront's another one. And
well, I picked up Battlefield 1 on PS4.
Yeah, because there's people to play with. It was announced recently that Gears of War 4 on Windows is going to start matchmaking with people on Xbox One. Yep. And I thought it was an interesting situation. Like, people on the PC have no option. When they go into matchmaking, they're going to be paired with whoever's out there available. People on Xbox One can toggle that off or on. Like, hey, pair me with PC people as well as Xbox One people. I don't care. Or, no, I want to stick strictly to console people. They have that option. PC players don't, which is fine. The reason they integrated those was because PC people had nobody to play with. Yeah. The wait time to get into a match was getting exceedingly longer. And it's because the community does not thrive on PC. They don't, in multiplayer only, really. The community is not there. Mod community, yes. Those things thrive on PC. But multiplayer communities do not last on a PC. That's just the way it is. Obviously, unless it's exclusive to PC. So, I thought that was interesting. Yeah. And so that's where I'm going with Destiny 2. That's where you're going with Destiny 2. Amazon is still not put up that big collector's edition just yet. So I don't know when that's going to happen.
Personally, I think everything's coming. I don't think it's just going to be GameStop.
GameStop has exclusives to the limited edition.
I just don't see it happening.
If you're going to be coming here every month, once a month, we will continue to, we will continue to keep this, you know, updated. Hey, it's our monthly check-in with Nate. How you doing on getting that limited edition outside of GameStop? Yeah, hadn't happened yet, had it?
Not saying wouldn't. Get it that way, but it's probably better.
No. I'm not saying you won't get it that way, because if that's what you want, that's the only way you're going to get it. You think that eventually it's going to all be available wherever you want to buy it, and it's not. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, eBay, obviously.
I wouldn't think it if it wasn't available in Europe.
Right, there is no exclusivity in the
correct.
And in fact, there's no exclusivity in Canada, I believe, as well.
That's the only reason I hold hope.
Well, welcome to America. RJ, what about you? What have you been playing?
For the most part, I've been playing Dark Souls 3, The Ring City. I am catching, like, all 10 levels of hell trying to catch this boss battle. I finally got to him. Wonder Twins, these twin demons that I have to pick up and beat.
Okay.
But it's not that. That's not the problem. I've beat them pretty regularly now. About 8 times out of 10, I can beat them. No problem. It's the second phase of the battle that I'm having trouble with, because I get a bigger, badder version of the two demons that I've been facing facing prior. I'm using my most powerful weapon right now, and right now it's only doing like 169 points of damage per hit. But I attribute that to the fact that I'm playing on New Game Plus 6 right now. I'm at the brink of maxing out the difficulty of the game so far. So I get the feeling it's going to be a little difficult anyway. And the fact that the developers decide to jack up the difficulty as well, seeing as how long we've been playing the game before this DLC came out. So I've got that going for me. It's not that I'm discouraged by it. In fact, I expect difficulty in Dark Souls games, so I'm having a good time with it so far.
Can you upgrade your weapons more?
No. I've maxed out all the weapons. My main weapons so far I've maxed out to plus 10.
Can you find better weapons?
There are better weapons in the game, but I could spend time maxing them up now, and I don't think I've had anything that's better than what I have now. My most powerful weapon right now is a refined winged knight halberd. I can get like... No, I got a more powerful weapon, but it's too slow. It's like 500 50-something points of damage per swing. My Fume Ultra Greatsword can, I think, easily release about 650 points of damage, but it's too slow. I can't swing that thing but one time because I'd lose half my stamina, and I got to start running anyway and be defensive. So it would be, I wouldn't have the opportunity to attack as much as I would with my my halberd. So I'm doing it that way. Other than that, we'd had a little tournament at GT South this past Thursday. We played Def Jam Fight for New York.
Yay!
At the tournament. It was a good old time, man. I mean, watching folks play the game who never heard of the game before and didn't know what the controls were, and they were just trying to figure it out as they went along.
My friend my friend Dave is in town from one of the bases out in California. Used to be easier because he was always stationed in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Now he's out in California somewhere, and I don't know which base he's at. But he's back in town, and I remember before he ever went off, we were on, I guess it wasn't the 360, it was the Xbox, it was the original Xbox, wasn't it?
I believe it was on Xbox.
Let me see, Vendetta, right?
Vendetta?
Yeah.
I'll see. I know Fight for New York was 2004. 2002, maybe? Maybe it was that way, but yeah.
Yeah, hit that up while I'm telling you here. But yes, he came over and I watched him play Vendetta. Mm-hmm. And we had so much fun. I didn't play it at all. I just sat there and watched him play it. And he loved every bit of it. It was fun to watch him play that thing. And then I think Fight for New York came out, and so he got that. He didn't buy it. He worked at the rental place at the time, and so he came over with it, and he would play that. Watched him play that. It was fun. Then we got Icon, and we were like, this is crap.
Yeah. They say third time's a charm, but in this case, it definitely wasn't.
No, it was really bad. It was really bad. Really bad
game. Not for consoles. What? Third type of charm. Said not for consoles.
Not for consoles, no. But Def Jam Vendetta was 2003, and it was on PlayStation 2 and GameCube.
So really, it never had an Xbox release.
I'm looking here. Yes, it's PS2 and GameCube.
We must have played it on my PS2 then.
Yeah.
Fight for New York then must have had an Xbox release.
I believe so. Fight for New York was a PS2, GameCube, Xbox, PlayStation Portable, and that was 2004.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I don't even want to look for Icon. That was just
Don't worry about Icon. Nobody cares about Icon. They screwed that up.
Yeah,
so
we knew it was a problem when it 2 months after it came out, the price dropped to like $9.99 or something. So, I mean, it was just a ridiculous price drop. Yeah, it was just bad.
Yeah.
What it did do was give people a higher appreciation for Vendetta and Fight for New York. So yeah.
Anyway, he's in town again. Actually, I'm hopefully gonna catch up with him tonight.
Yeah. Most of the time we're playing was making sure all the fighters were released and the venues were updated and everything like that. And I couldn't really join the tournament. I pretty much had to monitor it really, because unfair advantage because the tournament setup is you don't know what game we're playing until the night you get there. So since I already knew that,
but did they need your copy of the game?
They need my copy of the copy of the game. And since I already had know what it was, and I had more experience than anybody in there playing it that night, so it wouldn't be fair. So make it entertaining. So let's see all the folks who didn't know what they were doing.
Still need to do a speedrunners tournament.
Speedrun, yeah.
I love speedrunners.
Yeah. So. What have they done with that, by the way?
What have they done with speedrunners?
Didn't they say there's a console version, or is it out now?
There's an Xbox One version. Yes.
Xbox One. Okay.
Yeah, there is an Xbox One version of speedrunners.
Okay.
I could probably get them a code for that if they wanted to put it in the store, in the shop or in the bar, whatever.
Yeah, probably. Probably one of the owners of the Xbox One could probably do it for you.
Yeah.
Probably get in touch with them like that. Other than that, maybe a little bit of a 3-on-3 freestyle, the occasional game of Disc Jam, but for the most part, it was DS3 and Fight for New York.
All right. Yeah. Well, I played. I finished Last Guardian and. I wanted to talk about it, and I know you're kind of periodically playing it, Nate, so I'm not going to hit on spoilers here, but I am going to talk about some great things that it did. Somebody already talked a little bit about the progression of the game in a video, but so like there's sections that that Dogbird won't follow you. Because he sees those
like traps.
Yeah, he sees those eyes, the glass eyes that you have to break to get him to move. He's like he's really afraid of those. But the soldiers that come and actually attack him, he has no problem swiping those guys away and really gets aggressive with them.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you go through this and you learn that whole pattern, and there eventually comes a point where I don't know if you've gotten to the soldiers that hold the eye, the glass eye thing as a shield. Mm-mm. So that they can move in on you, but keeps old boy at bay. There's a certain point where there's two of those guards, and you've got to try and knock those things down so that Trico can hop across and come and rescue you. And the game forcefully puts you in a position to where you can't get to those guys, but you do get captured. And, you know, Dogbird sees that. And throughout this whole thing, he's become... He starts as this not necessarily unruly pet, but he doesn't really pay much attention to you. He sees you there, and then eventually he learns to know what your call is. Like, mm-hmm. if you call him over to you, your different directions or things like that. Eventually he starts looking for places in a room where he knows you need to go and will kind of direct you there, and you'll go through that. Well, this one little section here, you think you're pretty much done, but old boy says, I can't let this happen regardless, makes the jump, doesn't care about those glass eyes, and does what he needs to do. He still gets it. I thought maybe we had overcome the glass eye thing, but nope, he's still scared of those after that. But it was interesting to see how that progressed. What I thought was interesting was to see how, I mean, every game does this, but it was just much more apparent playing this, where they introduce you to a new concept, and then you have to implement that concept. They do that every time. You'll get a new weapon, and it's like, okay, this is the only way you can defeat Boss Man is with this new weapon you picked up. It's not necessarily like that with Last Guardian. They show you a new way of doing something, and then the way they implement it is... not necessarily genius, but it is very inventive with the way that they introduce this new step of play to you and how it's going to work and how things can work. There's some fantastic moments later in the game that I won't go into. Throughout the ending and the way that the last segment was being played, I was expecting more of an emotional pull. I was expecting more of something that was going to... You guys have all played Shadow of the Colossus, right? Mm-hmm. I assume.
No, I've seen enough video of it to know what it's about.
When your horse falls in that pit, I was really upset about that. That was a problem for me. I did not like that at all because I had made a connection with this animal. I'd made that connection. And I've made the connection with Trico, but... because of everything that was going on and the place that it put me into, I was pulled out of it because my brain was working on, like, where do I need to go? What do I need to do? I hate that this is happening. I have to go do something. So instead of it pulling at my emotions, it was causing me to overthink the situation or not be very clear with what needed to happen next. So I wasn't focused on what was going on to receive that emotional mm-hmm. connection. Even right up to the very end of the game, I'm sitting here pressing this button, and my character is doing what he needs to do, but nothing's happening. And it's not a glitch. I just wasn't holding the button down long enough for him to do it. So while Trico's going through whatever he's going through, I am not connected emotionally because I'm like, why is it not working? This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And the narrator's telling me what to do, and I'm sitting here doing it. But I wasn't doing it in the right way that they wanted me mm-hmm. to do it. So part of that is why I was not pulled in, I think, like they wanted me to pull in, to be pulled in, and not like I wanted to be pulled in as well. So... There were some disconnects there with what they were trying to make me feel. I still loved it. I still really, really loved it. And eventually I kind of want to go back and play it again, but it's got some issues as far as, and you know this from playing it, it's got some issues with not necessarily getting the animal to do what you need him to do, But like he's supposed to be in certain placements, and there's things that'll happen, and it just very much Assassin's Creed-y.
It can be a little clunky.
Yeah, it's very much like Assassin's Creed, where you wanted to make a jump to like the next ledge, but instead you do a wall push or something and go in a completely different direction, and there's some clunky things about it.
It's kind of like you were saying. You push up to jump up to the next ledge, and then all of a sudden you push up, and then it jumps you backwards. It's like, okay, well, wait, I just did that and did this.
And there was you can go and stand at the end of a ledge and hit a button so he'll hang from it.
Yeah.
Half the time I would do that, and he would just squat down and not move. And I'm like, no, that's not what I wanted you to do. Yeah. You need to do this faster. And so I would have issues there. So there's that. Horizon, I got to that point in there where I'm fighting the big fire beast or whatever. Yep. I got so frustrated there, I could feel my temper escalating. I said, okay, I'm going to stop doing this. I don't want to be in that position where I'm slamming my hand down on the bed here and just being all, letting it get to me.
Yeah, you don't want one of those YouTube rage quits.
Well, I'll never break anything, because it's like, I also realize that things cost money, and I'm not going to break something. But I will punch the hell out of my bed, because this is where I play at. I will throw a 5-year-old tantrum in that thing I'm having issues.
Huh? Really?
Oh, no, because
there's a few of those in Destiny.
yeah. There were those in Destiny where I've got like that one thing that I'm trying to do, and so anytime I feel myself going there, I was like, okay, we're done. We're stopping here. I'm not going to play any more of this. Let's move on to something else so I'm not frustrated. That's what happened when I was playing Horizon last week. I stopped and I said, let's go back to Last Guardian, and I finished that off. Nier Automata, I picked that up last week after the show. I went by Best Buy and I picked it up.
I need to do that.
And I am playing that now. And here it is, just like Horizon, here's another game where there's a bunch of stuff out in the open world that directs my attention away from my main mission. It's not any kind of other mission stuff. I'm just running over there because it's not a collectible thing, but it's a resource thing.
Yeah, it's a resource.
I'm like, pick it up. Everywhere. Pick it up. So
yeah, they're all over the place from what I hear.
They are. They're everywhere in this. So I'm enjoying that game. I'm very, very early on into it. So I've only done like the very first, like there's the first mission that's kind of a tutorial type thing.
Yeah, the prelude, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's your real first mission where you meet your first boss. Mm-hmm. And so I've done that, and I haven't gone any further from that. I know that I'll be, you know, picking up missions and doing other things like that. It's an amazing. I love the way that they've implemented everything and the gameplay and all that stuff, the way it goes from a 3D hack and slash to a 2D type shooter to they just changed that thing.
Overhead shooter.
Yeah, overhead shooter. They change it all around as you're playing. It's fascinating the way they do it. It's fun. Again, kudos to Platinum on that. As well, I was going to mention Bayonetta is now on PC.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So
1080p, 60 frames.
Higher than that if you can do it.
Yeah.
Like they have unlocked the resolution on this thing for whatever you can produce.
Yeah, because I still remember having the load time issues on the PlayStation 3. Yeah, when I had it.
Yeah.
Because it was so it wasn't finished yet. They had to put a patch in there for it. The load times on the Xbox version was significantly faster than the one on the PlayStation. And they fixed that overall, but yeah.
Well, it was it's been great, and Bayonetta, like I said, it feels like a remastered version. I haven't picked it up; it's on my wish list. But it feels like it's a remastered version, just because the resolution's better, and but the price is fantastic. It's $20. It's $20. The Bulletstorm remastered edition that was just released a few weeks ago 60. It's 40, I think. 40 or 50.
I thought I saw 60. Oh, there must have been something with bonus and perks in there. I saw one for maybe like 59 or 99 or something.
It's up there, though. It's much higher than what I would have paid. $20.
Yeah, and how old is the Bulletstorm?
It's old.
Six, 7 years?
It's old. But this is old, too, but it's $20. So it's really in that wheelhouse of, I can go ahead and buy that. I can go ahead and pick that up.
Yeah,
so
let me see here. No. Well, 2011 is when it came out. Early 2011. February 22nd.
Oh, okay.
2011.
All right. Well, we are way behind here. We need to go to a break. And when we come back, we've got more of in-game chat. Those of you on the phone, I'm going to get your names here during this break and put you back on hold. But we're going to come to you first thing after we're done with this break. Going into music now that was suggested. I was going to get this anyway because I always go through the new releases of the week and grab music from new releases. But Spigot, Brock, sent us a text and said, hey, or sent us a tweet saying that, hey, if you can find some music from this game, you really should play some. It's from a game called The Sexy Brutale. I don't think it's brutal, but The Sexy Brutale. It's like a murder mystery game, but it's solved with a time change mechanic type thing.
Hmm.
Like time shifting mechanic.
Like stop time, go back and see how something
right, happens. Right, yeah. Something like okay. that. He's been playing it. He's way past due on giving us a call.
Okay.
To tell us what he's been playing.
I'll look that up a little bit.
Hopefully he'll listen to this episode and call us next week. Mm-hmm. Here is music from that game. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with...
Oh, yeah.
Camera. Forgot about the camera. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Nate, who is here with us for this episode. Music from Black Ops 2. This track is called Adrenaline. This is... I use this in honor whatever, because Black Ops 2 just became backwards compatible on the Xbox One. And apparently a lot of people are really happy about that. Black Ops 2 apparently is really good in the line of Call of Duty games from everything that I've been reading about. It's better than Black Ops 3. It's better than Black Ops 1. Modern Warfare may be the only other thing that rivals it. But apparently Black Ops 2 is really, really good.
Never played it.
I played the multiplayer on it, but I never played the single player for it. But I heard good things about it, so... I played the first Black Ops, but I never played Black Ops 2. Let's go to the phones real quick and talk to Matt, who is calling us from Orlando, Florida. Hey, Matt.
Howdy, y'all.
How you doing, man?
How's it going?
Good. How's it going for you?
Oh, I am tired and beat, but having a great time.
I was going to say, you got to be loving it, man. Yeah. What are you doing right now? It's, 6 o'clock there?
Yeah, we're heading over to Disney. I'm going to have a... dinner over at Disney World.
Okay.
Did you wait in any of those 12-hour lines, 24-hour lines?
No. I really wanted to go to the 40th anniversary panel.
Yeah.
But people started camping out for that like on Tuesday night.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah.
So
jeez.
Ridiculous.
I was in a Discord chat with a group, and one of the guys in there was about 50th in line, and he had been waiting for days.
Goodness.
Yeah, and like today, like we wanted to get into the Battlefront 2 panel, but that was already full up. So,
yep. Have you been to any panels?
No, I have not been to any panels. I've watched them because the Star Wars show will like live cast.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing next to a huge like a recreated TIE fighter, just watching some of the panels. So I got to see the 40th anniversary and some of the other stuff, but no, I haven't been to any panel. For some reason this year, it's just so busy and everybody's like camping out overnight for them. Yeah. So I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you I know a lot of those people, you pretty much had to wait 24 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you get your precious Hayden Christensen autograph?
No, I did not. Although, I did, like, you know, sort of see him in the autograph area, like, you know, signing stuff. So that was kind of cool. Yeah. The trailer for Battlefront 2 looks amazing. You know, I'm glad that they're following Inferno Squadron.
Well, I mean, there's no gameplay in it.
No, but I mean, it looks like it's going to be like more story based than.
Well, they've got they do have a single player campaign based on the Empire.
Yeah, so I mean, which reminds me of the original Battlefront 2, is, you know, what they did with that. You know, so I'm excited.
They didn't announce anything for the VR part, which, you know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed in, or I'm hoping that maybe it'll come later. I know they probably wouldn't focus on it, but I was hoping we might get another VR section in there from the Criterion guy, since it was so well received in the first one.
I mean, with this one focusing more on the Empire, maybe we'll have a VR section focused in a TIE fighter.
That wouldn't be bad, or a choice to go either way on it. That would be nice. Something a little bit more robust than what we got last
single player
time.
VR campaign.
I don't know about that. It really works well with flying, but I don't know about that. You borrowed my VR, right? Mm-mm, you haven't? God, I meant to bring that then, so that you could borrow that.
I know where you live.
Yeah, you do. So just come by and get it. Yeah. It's still boxed up. I haven't unboxed it since, I guess, RJ or Matt, whichever one's the last one who use it.
Yeah.
It's still boxed up.
I'll probably swing by next week or two.
Yeah, just let me know.
Yeah, I just want to check on you guys. Just say hey.
Was I going to ask you? Yeah, I was also hoping we'd hear something about Amy's game, but nothing. I thought maybe there'd be a nice little surprise at the Battlefront 2 panel.
I didn't hear anything.
No, nothing at all. Yeah. Well, enjoy your time
maybe,
there.
Maybe E3.
Yeah, well, probably E3. But enjoy your time there. When are you coming back?
I'll be back Tuesday.
All right, man. Well, take care. Enjoy it. And we'll talk to you. We'll see you next Saturday.
All right, man.
See ya.
Right. See ya. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And let's go to Chris, who has been waiting on the phone. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Well, me and my father checked out the Highway 80 yard sale, but didn't find much nothing out through there. We went down to Selma and traced that route back to Montgomery. And only found a few controllers for the game store at RGP for Tim that works there. But
I got a buddy of mine who I've mentioned him already, Dave, who's in town, and he's obviously staying at his home right now, and he's going through all of his old Saturn games and SNES games and stuff like that, and he's going to take them over to Retro and try and sell them. So if Rustin buys them, then Retro's going to have a nice little mound of new stock of retro games for people to purchase. And maybe systems too. I don't know if he's still got systems or not. So playing anything? What have you been playing?
Well,
Breath of the Wild, I guess.
Yeah, was thinking about getting back into Sniper Elite 4, but then I decided, well, I got the new Tales game, so I popped that in just now. I'm downloading the free stuff for it, so I'm about to start playing it.
All right.
Oh, how'd you like the Ghost in the Shell?
Oh, the movie on Wednesday? Yeah, I went and saw the Ghost in the Shell movie on Wednesday. I liked it. I really thought they weren't going to put in the spider tank, and then boom, there's spider tank. Yay, spider tank. It was all right. I didn't really have any problem with Chris. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I don't know what that was.
Sounded like a champagne bottle.
I heard a pop. I thought maybe he'd gone off. I didn't really have much of a problem with like the casting or anything like that. I also wasn't really, I'm not too invested in the source material enough to really be very critical of what they're using, what they've done here with the film. Yeah. So to judge it on its own merits, I was like, all right, not bad. So
yeah, it wasn't all that bad. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and Tim and his other coworker buddy went and saw it too, and they absolutely loved it. So it's definitely been a lot better than what the critics out there are saying about it.
Well, watching it though, I really kept wishing there was a very, very faithful live action Akira.
That'd be nice if they do that, but you know, there's no telling. It may be a possibility of helping opening the door to something like that in the future.
Yeah, possibly. We'll see. But we appreciate you calling, Chris.
Yeah, but there's some other live action remakes of anime series out there that, you know, they're exclusively from Japan that you can do on. But have you seen that that series, The Full Metal Alchemist?
No, I'm not really an anime guy. I just finished up One Punch Man on Netflix. So
FMA is pretty popular in the anime world, though.
Yeah, and I think there's a live action for that and one for Death Note that got a trailer and a couple of other things out there. And Attack on Titan's got season two out.
Terraform Mars, Tokyo Ghoul.
Yeah, places like that. I know there's a lot out there, and I'm not really big on getting into it, but like I said, I finished up One Punch Man. I never finished season one of Attack on Titan, so I think I'll jump into that, but I don't see myself going much further into that realm.
So you've seen Attack on Titan then?
Only the first half, like up to episode 15 of season one.
Okay.
I haven't gone.
Well, they have a couple live action movies of that one that cover the whole first series, you know, spot set one and two that's been out for quite a while, and those are excellent.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling as always. Love talking to you every week, man. So take care, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, y'all have a good one then.
All right, bye bye.
See ya.
Bye.
I was just looking at the Uncharted Lost Legacy that's mm-hmm. being released as a standalone. It comes out on August 22nd. And their pre-order deal right now is that if you do pre-order that game at participating retailers, which I have no idea which ones those are, you'll get a free digital copy of Jak and Daxter, the precursor Legacy for PS4 when it's going to be as a PS2 Classics offering, but you'll get it free whenever you get The Lost Legacy.
Yeah, and how that ties into Uncharted? Same maker or something? Mm-hmm. How does that tie into it?
Yeah. Naughty Dog's the same one who did Jak and Daxter.
Okay. I never played that.
What I thought was interesting, though, if you own Uncharted 4 Digital Deluxe Edition, Explorers Pack, or the Triple Pack, you'll get Uncharted The Lost Legacy as a digital download free at launch. So that means you will not be available for this pre-order deal, which is fine. I'm not really big on getting that Jak and Daxter thing, but I am really happy that I'm going to get a free game out of that. So
I'll be getting the Jak and Daxter and the Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, the Insane Trilogy, I guess?
I'll be getting both of those.
Yeah?
I would say...
You're not much of a game buyer. Lately you've been like, I'm going to hold off.
One, those are cheap.
Yeah.
But two, I mean, I probably... Every Crash game, I probably beat those about three times each.
I've never played a single Crash.
And then every Jak and Daxter, probably about three or four times each. I would go through Jak and Daxter, I would go through and 100% them.
That section in Uncharted 4 where you play Crash Bandicoot?
Yeah.
Was the first time I'd played a Crash Bandicoot game.
Okay.
I didn't play games during the... I was not into doing gaming stuff for the N64 PS1 period. Missed that generation completely.
Well, I remember, I grew up with those games, Jak and Daxter. I did not like, and I still don't like Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank? Yeah.
Just, it never clicked with me. It was always Jak and Daxter and Crash Bandicoot. I didn't like it, just the style just wasn't there.
Yeah.
But, so what was the replayability for you in Jak and Daxter? Was like, you just said you wanted to go back and 100% it, or was there something?
The very first time I always beat them, I was 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there. So the first time, I was just happy to beat them. And then it was like a year later, I was like, you know what? I want to 100%, because it would be like, oh, collect all the orbs. And then I found out if you collect all the orbs, you'd get a different ending.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then I was like, okay. So then I went back and 100% 1 and 2 right before 3 came out. And then 3 came out, and then I played through that. And then that one, and it was also awesome, was just that each game built up. So the first one was just a, what is it called when, like, you just have a straight level? What type of game is that?
Linear?
Yeah, it was like a linear. Yeah. And then the second one was sort of open world, but then sort of linear. And then the third one was completely open world, but then still kind of linear. So it was like they kind of built up on all of them. And then with Crash, it's just mainly always, or it was linear, but just, me and my friend would stay up all the time and play Crash together.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll definitely be picking those up.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested in Lost. It's Uncharted again, so it's great. And I know they're Naughty Dog's also working, or already underway on Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
I know this week one of those actors, Troy Baker or crap, I'm forgetting her name. The one that plays Ellie.
It's not Paige, is it?
No, Ashley Johnson tweeted that they were doing mocap sessions for it.
Oh, but they had a picture together.
Yes.
Yeah.
In their mocap mm-hmm. gear with yep, their maybe. Stuff on and everything else.
I know so. You're talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. I think that'd be so much fun.
Mocap?
Just to okay. try it.
I sat in a session when they were working on Uncharted 3. No, Uncharted 3. Yes. I was in on a session when they were doing Uncharted 3 with, I'm trying to think of the actors' names. Claudia Black, who plays Chloe,
mm-hmm.
Nolan North, and
Nah.
What was his name? McTavish. The guy who played Cutter in Uncharted 3.
Mm-hmm.
They were there doing the other was
where were you when you saw this?
I was in Culver City. I was at the studio.
Ah.
I was at the studio. I was invited by Amy to come out and watch them. Okay. I'd gone there for E3 and I said, "Well, I'm leaving on Thursday." She's like, "If you can somehow stay till Friday, you can come in and watch some stuff on Friday because we're doing some shooting."
Really
and
like
I extended my I called the airline. I said, "Can I move my departure date to Friday for an overnight?"
Yeah.
And they said, sure, we'll do that. And then I got a hotel in Culver City and went there and then went to the Culver City Studios, which was not too far from that hotel, and sat there all day and watched them do a session.
Graham McTavish.
Graham right. McTavish was his yeah. name.
I just think the paint would be cool. Just to like see, just to go through the whole through the whole process of how that.
I remember seeing mocap in when they did the Mortal Kombat games for mm-hmm. Deadly Alliance when they had the suits and the light receptors all over their body.
Yeah,
like
it was
that.
Fun to watch. It was, I mean, it's probably fun to do as well, but there is, you know, I only did it for one day. So to see them have to go through all this, and they go through take after take, they do it over and over and over again. And you get a little stir crazy, you know, I can't see how you couldn't. You get a little stir crazy doing these scenes. And then every once in a while, they would break and go back into this trailer where they would go over the next scene and talk about, does this line work? How many different lines should we put here? Should I do it this way? That sort of, you know.
Yeah.
And they would change everything up, and then they would come back and do a scene. And it was just fascinating to watch them work and everything else, just to see how all of that is filmed and done. And they had to do a T-pose after everything, and I don't want to do a T-pose because it hurts my arms right now. But sometimes in a glitch, you'll see a character go into a T-pose.
Yep.
And then completely glitch out, and that's exactly what they're doing. It's interesting to see. So,
it's like a default stance for characters.
It is. It is.
Yeah, the base. Yeah. He's your base, and who we
it's like it's yeah. It's like here's how we line everything up. Boom. There's our T pose. That'll let you set. It's like when I do my clap.
Yep.
It lets them set everything for how the computer's going to follow the model to do what it's got to do. So. Yes, it is the default pose. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have the last segment of this episode next. We got more music here from a game that Nate has praised from way before I even knew it was a thing. Even before it had been released, Nate was on board with this thing and loved it, and it has done massively well. I am actually really surprised by how well it has done and how well the community has done with it, regardless, by the way. PC, console, it's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what I'm talking mm-hmm. about, don't you? Mm-hmm. What is the game?
Rocket League. Rocket League, wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I would say Rocket Racers, but I was like, wait, you know, that's not it.
No, it's Rocket League. So here's music from Rocket League. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Nate. Music from Injustice, Gods Among Us.
One or two. One or two.
The first one. Second one's getting released, I think, in May. Is that when Injustice 2 comes out? It's sometime in May, I think.
Mid-May is when it comes out.
So, that'll be a fun one for me to watch during the Evo Championships.
Oh, yeah. Especially if Sonic Fox gets a hold of a character that he likes. I still remember what he did in Evo with Catwoman during that tournament. I'm sorry. No, he had no. He used
Batgirl.
Batgirl. He used Batgirl. The person who's playing, the person who's playing was Catwoman, was pretty good too. But Sonic Fox had some.
It'll be interesting to see which character now comes out on top as the one to go to as far as tournament play.
Yeah. Who's the top tier? Character in there.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. Got a few more minutes left in this episode, and I noticed where. Again, this goes back to Microsoft's policy. Well, I don't want to say policy, but their forward thinking, their forward looking ahead of how they want to shape their environment, their console environment, and everything else. They've started adding self-service refunds for digital games on Xbox and Windows 10, and it's currently being used in the Xbox One preview program. It works a lot like Steam does. You've got 14 days after purchase to do a refund, or if you played it less than 2 hours, you can do a refund. If it exceeds 2 hours, you can't get a refund. If it exceeds past 14 days, you can't do a refund, whichever one of those comes first. And, well, that really vibrated through the entire board.
I thought it was my phone.
That was powerful. And the refunds are self-service. So you won't have to draft an email or communicate with any other human being in order to request a refund. There are exceptions, which seems obvious. DLC and season passes are not eligible. That seems pretty obvious. You probably won't buy DLC or season pass for a game you want to refund anyway. So don't go all in before that happens. And certain Windows 10 apps may not be eligible. And, of course, they reserve the right to deny a refund to those who are taking advantage of the system. So don't get refund happy. Yeah. But it's nice to see it out there. It's nice to see that exists. I don't know. Everything Microsoft seems to be starting to implement here feels like it's sort of bringing them back around to where they were at the end of the 360's life, or at the heyday of the 360's life cycle, where Microsoft was really on top of everything and Sony was the one trying to play catch up. And yeah, I know Lethal Migraine's going to be completely contradicting everything I say here. Cause Microsoft is his company of choice, but, they did not do well with this current generation of systems. Sony beat them to the punch on price. Beat them to the punch on power out of the gate for this. I grant you that the Xbox One S has some better abilities over the regular PS4, whereas the PS4 Pro excels over the Xbox One S as far as the way games look and that sort of thing. I understand. Yeah, I know he's going to bring up a lot of stuff about the Xbox One S having a full 4K Blu-ray player inside of it. I get that. I understand it. And the PS4 Pro doesn't. But as far as games are concerned, the PS4 Pro outdoes the Xbox One S, which is fine because the Scorpio is then going to lap the PS4 Pro as far as power on the inside of the thing.
Yeah.
So we get that. But now we're seeing here that that Phil wants this to be a universal machine that can play all of your old games as well as your new ones. He's looking at to shape it more like a PC environment. Now they've added the implementation of refunds. That is looking good. They've done great things with the UI as they improve the Xbox One experience, the UI, the party system, the looking for group stuff that you don't have. You know, Destiny is the one where it falters in this on the PS4. You don't have that, but the Xbox One console itself has places you can go to look for players to join you in games and stuff. So they really feel like they're coming back around to a more user-friendly type of thing, or a user advantage, I guess. I don't know.
And my biggest thing is I just still don't have any games I want
to
play.
That's the thing. The games still have to be there. Regardless of the goodwill that they implement in their service, the games have to be there for people.
And I have no problem getting an Xbox. I've had a 360, loved it, had an Xbox One, but there's nothing on Xbox.
It's like I've always said, man, no matter how good it looks on paper, no matter what the stats are, what it can do, if you don't have the games for it, what's the point?
What you're basically saying is Don Matrick was a genius and shouldn't have been fired? No, man. Don Matrick, I'm glad that Don Matrick is gone.
Yeah.
I don't think that he should. I don't know if he shouldn't have been fired. And in fact, I don't think he was fired. I think he left. He went and got a job with Zynga?
Yes.
Zynga? Mm-hmm. Zynga? Yeah. He didn't get fired. He left. He probably saw that the writing on the wall that he was probably going to be fired, but he went ahead and he got out of there. So he wasn't fired.
Or they let him leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't wish anybody to get fired. But I don't think that he was
helping.
Yeah. And in fact, this interview with Phil Spencer talks about they were working on Project Scorpio, and they were working on another upgraded Xbox system in 2016. They were going to release another machine that was going to be a little bit better than the S, you know, and twice as better than the Xbox One original, and they were going to release another machine for that. But it wasn't – for Phil, who got put into that, that was something that was implemented with Don at the time, and so Phil took over. And for him, his preference, he wasn't happy with the strides they were making – at what they were going to charge for the thing. They said, look, let's cut this out. Let's just focus everything on Scorpio and go that way.
Which makes much more sense.
Yeah. Instead of doing it like they were doing it. So Scorpio is essentially Phil's thing from the beginning. He had the input. From the ground up, the Scorpio is going to be Phil's machine, basically. And... whereas the Xbox One S was a mixture of Phil and Don for this one, but this is all Spencer Scorpio, basically, is what that is, and I really like the way that he's going in this direction with it. But again, you're right, and we've talked about this, and I say this knowing full well that I bought a Switch. The games have to be there. And I'm not really talking about for myself. I'm talking about just for consumers in general. The games have to be there. It's got to be games there that people want to play. There's going to be a previously installed user base who are diehard, you know, Xbox people. They're just not going to switch from that. Or there's going to be people who go both ways, who play both Sony and Microsoft things and just get whatever's new that comes out. You're going to have those. But for the group that they want to get, there's got to be the games. A system lives and dies on its games.
That's still the main reason you buy a console.
It is, and that's the main reason I tell everybody whenever they call in about which one should I get. Well, just figure out which one's got the games you want and go that route. And you know, if there was, I talked about, people don't ask anymore about, like, does it play DVDs or Blu-rays, because it's just expected that they do.
It's a given.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, you probably got something in your house that does play DVDs or Blu-rays already.
So, with the exception of now, the Xbox One S has a 4K Blu-ray player in it.
Mm-hmm.
4K hasn't gotten to the adoption rate that like 1080p and stuff like that has, HD has.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting there.
Yeah, but it ain't there yet.
No, it's not there yet, but a lot of people who buy new TVs have no option. You get a 4K set. There is no way around that. You're going to get a 4K set. The Xbox One S, which is much cheaper than a PS4 Pro, does 4K gaming. The PS4 Pro does 4K gaming, but it's more expensive. So the tables are reversed from the original release of the Xbox One and the PS4. So there is that to put into a factor when somebody calls in and says, which one should I get, that sort of thing. It's like, do you have any 4K Blu-rays? Are you looking into getting that? You know, I've started the Blu-rays that I buy, at least steelbook-wise, I've started getting those that have 4K because eventually I'm going to get to that point where I've got those to play. I've got everything to implement them. I just don't have a TV yet that plays 4K stuff. So that's my next purchase.
How much they run normally? 4Ks?
They change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they vary.
I'd say on the cheap end.
They're getting into the realm of, you know, basically what you would pay for a 5 years ago, what you would pay for a 1080p TV.
I've seen super cheap ones for, mm-hmm. well, it also depends on size, but yeah. Say you want a 60-inch 4K, I've seen cheap as like $800 mm-hmm. and up to, what would you say, $2,500?
Yeah, I mean, I want to go stupid with my purchase.
You can always do
that. OLED is what I want. I want an OLED screen.
You can go probably up to, what, $4,000 then?
The highest I've seen is almost $20,000. But that was for...
I don't know what that comes with.
That is, it's a giant screen. It's thin. It's almost like...
You know what? I have seen this.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
And it's in top of the line brand new, but it's massive. And that is not where I want to go, by the way. No. Like I said, I want to do an OLED.
You're starting a Kickstarter for your TV or your GoFundMe for your new TV.
Yeah. Indiegogo.
fulfill this boy's dream.
No, not at all.
I've seen worse.
Arioka says I have them both, but PS4 has way more exclusives now. It's not even close. Multiplats run better on PS4, also on console. That's what you find a lot of, is that the multiplat ones on console, PS4 edges out the Xbox One and the Xbox One S just slightly now.
You know,
and it's so slight that I don't even use that as a comparison anymore.
By the way, Horizon is beautiful on the standard PS.
That blows
my mind how well that game looks, by the way.
That is just a...
I mean, you can zoom in on a bee flying, and it has its own texture set.
It's amazing how well that looks compared to, like, Mass Effect and Andromeda.
Yeah.
So...
That was very impressive, by the way.
Still on the standard PS4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's okay. Very pretty.
And I'm playing it on a Pro. Let's go to the phones real quick. In-game chat, who's this?
Hey, this is Cooter.
Hi.
Hi. Y'all was talking about the Blu-ray and big screen TVs.
Yeah.
I've got a TV, but I don't have a Blu-ray player. How do I know if my TV will play Blu-ray? Will show? Does it have to say Blu-ray on the TV?
No. Your TV just needs to, like, do you know the resolution of your TV? Is it a 1080?
It's a UHD TV, whatever that is.
UHD. Oh, Ultra HD. Yeah.
It's a 4K.
You're fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're totally fine.
So Blu-ray would look good on there.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure. No problem.
I like the easy ones.
Yeah. That's an easy question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wasn't sure what he was talking about. Oh, God. This thing is killing me right now. I'm sorry. I'm trying to find a position that it doesn't hurt. So, and this is a good one. What is left? I'm so glad we're almost done with the show because it hurts so bad. Yeah, the refund thing, that was nice to see. What are you looking forward to playing here, Nate, in the coming weeks?
Yeah, I haven't even looked at the calendar.
Because we're not going to see you again for like a month, right?
Yeah, probably somewhere around there.
Yeah, so you're going to come over and get the VR stuff, I guess,
yes.
At some point, and you're going to play that.
I'm for sure going to do that.
Yeah. So.
What's on the horizon? Do you know anything off the top of your head? I don't even know anything.
I'd have to look. There's a nice little calendar that we've got on our thing that I always look at, and it's going to take it away. It's going to take it a minute to load up. So, give me just a second to let you know what week are we looking at here.
Because I know Crash Bandicoot's in June or July.
Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale series starts on Tuesday. Yeah. First episode there. The Disney Afternoon Collection comes out next Tuesday.
Pre-ordered.
Did you? No, but I think it's great. So you got DuckTales, DuckTales 2, Chippendales, Rangers, Chippendales, Rangers 2, Tailspin, and Darkwing Duck.
Yes, I did.
It's a lot of stuff. It's fantastic.
How much is that?
I think it's like $40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not expensive at all. Let's see. Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia. That comes out on Thursday. I believe, is that Thursday? Yeah, that's Thursday. Oh, Rick and Morty's VR game comes out on Thursday as well. I played that at PAX.
I have no VR.
Yeah, I know. And it's also not going to be on PS4 VR either.
How great was that April Fool's thing, by the way?
I didn't watch it because I haven't finished season 2. Oh, I take my time with this stuff. Just like I take my time with everything else on Rebels and stuff, I take my time.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're in for a treat.
The week after this one, so on the 25th, we get Outlast 2, scary game.
I loved Outlast 1.
Sniper Ghost Warrior.
Is that going to be on VR?
3, Outlast 2? I don't think so. I don't think it is. Sniper Ghost Warrior 3. Oh, look, a sniper game. It's not as good as the Sniper Elite series, but might be something worth looking into. What Remains of Edith Finch, which is something I'm very interested in. Very puzzly atmospheric. Siberia 3 is another one that I'm interested in because I played the previous ones. Yeah. Thursday, a week from Thursday, I don't see anything. Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War 3. Seems like that may be something people are interested in.
Am I making this up, or did you post something a while back that they're making the room?
No, I posted something. Okay, yeah, they're working on another room. Yeah.
So that's 4?
That would be the fourth one, yeah. Okay. Oh, Prey comes out. First Friday in May.
That's right. I probably rent that.
That is sort of something I'm interested in.
Yeah, I'll rent that one.
May 16th is Injustice 2. And I'm looking here if there's anything. Yeah. Okay. So there you go.
Yeah, nothing really.
Nothing except for, Siberia 3 is something I'll look into. And Ghost Warrior 3 is probably a rental or something I may check out.
When's E3 this year?
That's a good question, because E3 has, if you're talking about the actual convention in the 3 days, it's mid-June.
Okay.
I can't remember. It's mid-June somewhere in there, but the press conferences have started to...
June 13th through the 15th.
Okay. Yeah, they've started to break tradition now in the press conferences.
Are they doing their own thing?
Microsoft is doing their press conference on Sunday instead of Monday. EA has moved theirs to Saturday.
Okay.
I know. It's weird. Bethesda, I think, is still going to stay on Sunday night.
Okay.
But yeah, EA's press conference will be on Saturday. Microsoft's will be on Sunday.
And are
Sunday.
They doing their own thing?
What do you mean? Who?
Well, didn't they do something different last year of like the way they streamed it?
EA.
Or just didn't have their... Or are they just not going to be there?
Are you talking about EA?
Yeah, what was different last year?
EA did not buy floor space at E3. They went to a different place and bought their space so everybody could attend.
That's right. That's what it was. Okay.
EA didn't attend. Disney didn't attend. Activision didn't attend. There were a lot of people who did not attend, and a lot of them are not attending again this year.
Yeah.
It seemed to work best for them. I think, honestly, everybody's ultimately going to go the way of Nintendo. Like, look, we're just going to do our own presentations. We're going to do our own updates throughout the year. Why conform to your once-a-week thing? Yeah. Let's just do our own stuff. We don't need that anymore. They realize that people are going to tune in and watch their stuff regardless of what it is. You're going to have a big announcement and a big press conference. People are going to tune in and watch it. Doesn't matter when it is. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter who's doing it. Just, do your thing. So I still don't know when Ubisoft is doing theirs. I don't know when Sony is doing theirs. I don't know when Nintendo will do theirs, but we know how Nintendo does theirs all the time. But I don't know when. We've got Bethesda, Microsoft, and EA already nailed down. Bethesda's on Sunday night, Microsoft's on Sunday afternoon, and EA is on Saturday, I think in the afternoon, probably while we're doing our show, is when EA will do their E3 press conference. So, anyway, that is probably going to do it for us. Anything before you go? Anything you want to mention or talk about?
Appreciate you having me back on. It was a pleasure being able to do it.
Good seeing you back.
Like old times.
I know. I'm so glad to have you back, man. It was good having you back on.
I tried to stay on chat when I could, or try to call in and stuff.
Yeah, like when you're doing the show, you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or when we're doing the show, you're at work when we see you in the chat room and stuff.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody who joined in the chat room. In fact, I'll do a real quick roll call there. Arioka, Cavalier UK, Drunk Degenerates. Fagwent, I think. Oh my god. Guinness stash?
Wait a minute.
Guinness stash? Lethal migraine? Lowercase rocket? There's some new names I haven't seen in here in ever. Michael DeLang?
I brought him in.
Yeah, probably. Moltile, STM Fuller, Tactius 59, and Vol Mike Devil. Also, Lavos hanging out up there as well. So, thank all of you. Thanks to every one of you guys who comes in and hangs out in the chat room and watches us. Moltile. Did I say Moltile?
You didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't see him until just now. Moltile's in there now. So, it just popped up on the list. So, anyway, thanks for all you guys joining us in the chat room. I want to thank everybody for also listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net, join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch, subscribe to our Twitch channel. We love it when you do that. If you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group. PS4, we have a group there. And on Xbox One, we also have a group. So join any of those and play games with us and other listeners. And thanks, everybody, for coming by. Nate, once again, thank you so much for coming back.
Pleasure.
And hope you come back sooner rather than later. As soon as you can, anyway. So thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. I leave you here with music from Wolfenstein, The Old Blood. Not New Order, but The Old Blood. This is the end song that plays there. Enjoy it. We'll see you next Saturday.